The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is early in the morning, Friday, April 30th, the first round of the NFL Draft 2021 has concluded. A wild ride. And we are, if you're listening, it's probably, it's the same day either way, right? It's Friday. But if you're watching with us on YouTube, exactly, Sam Bruce Smith. It's almost day three in Australia. If you want to hang out with us on YouTube, we're doing these recaps every night, live on YouTube. If you subscribe to go to youtube.com/picksix, subscribe. You will get an alert when we go live. These will be fun. So fun, in fact, that it's not just me, Ryan Wilson, and John Breach, but yes, Debo's here. Debo has his own square. Debo got more HQ time tonight than I did, and Breach did combined.
And we got the Heisman winner. It's a good night.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, Devontae Smith. Yeah. And you stole him from Dave Gettleman, who definitely wanted him, which is kind of fun.
No, I don't think he did.
He did. Anyway, we'll get into that. Wilson, what's up? How's Cleveland? Your backdrop looks perfectly Cleveland.
You actually, out the window, the stadium's right back there, so you can almost see
a dark building.
Yeah, you can see the stadium out back there. Look at that. There we go.
That's cool.
So the stadium's out back there.
What was on your TV? And unfortunately, we're going to edit that out.
You looked up freaked. Like, wait, what?
No, I know what it is. It's right here. I'm watching NFL Network.
Sure you are, Wilson.
Actually, you know what happened tonight with when the Eagles traded up, in front of the Giants with the Cowboys, which is a disgusting act of NFC East incestry.
By the way, it would have been super embarrassing if there was some naked lady on my television.
That's what I'm saying. But the Eagles trade up and they cut to the Eagles war room, and Howie Roseman has the same thing going on, like a plate glass window behind him, and the Eagles' entire draft board is being broadcast in a reflection behind him. I mean, you couldn't really read it, but geez Louise, guys. Think this through, your $14 billion business. Anywho.
By the way, it was pretty cold today in Cleveland, even for someone who lives in the Northeast. I will say that B-Mac and JJ, who joined us on set outdoors, they're not crazy about the cold weather.
You, B-Mac, and JJ grinding it out like true blue-collar campers.
I will tell you this. Next year's draft is John
Breach. Campers, wasn't that the tent? Your tent was the size of a camping tent, right, Ryan?
Yeah, that's right. And I'll say this, John. Next year, the draft, as you guys know, is in Las Vegas. And after hour eight, B-Mac said, I tell you this much, those guys sitting in the studio, they're not going to Vegas next year. We're going to Vegas next year. Because you know Brady, Pete, DK, like, oh, we're available to go to Vegas. We can't go to Cleveland.
Well, you know, vaccines and whatnot. I'm knock on wood. This podcast will be live from Vegas.
Brinson already has his flight booked for Vegas next year. He's going to be first in line. He's probably got his hotel booked.
We're going to be at like a craps table. Do it like set it behind a craps table at Caesars, doing a live podcast after the draft. Anyway, as I mentioned, we're doing the live recap shows every night. YouTube.com/picksix. If you subscribe, you'll get an alert. If you're in America, it's probably not going to be your cup of tea because it's late, but it'll be 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock on Saturday. And midnight on Friday. If you're, you know, if you're one of our international listeners, who we always appreciate, it will be actually right in your,
hey, our fans in London. It's like 6:20 a.m. there. This is perfect. Wake up right before you go to work. Watch us live.
Exactly, Breach. And regardless of where you live, you should be downloading, if you haven't already, for any reason, the CBS Sports mobile app. It's my go-to for live scores and breaking news, and it's NFL draft week, so you need to know a little football fan hack here. If you don't have the app, you can download it at your mobile app store. The CBS Sports app is always free. It's free. And what you do is you go to the settings and you turn on alerts for your team or whatever teams you want. Like if you think so-and-so is going to take a linebacker, you turn it on, you put a bet in on the linebacker, and you get the alert if they take them. That's what you want. You want immediate grades. You want immediate analysis. You want immediate alerts. And CBS Sports mobile app brings that to you. It's the best way to never miss an NFL draft moment. So if you haven't yet, fire open the CBS Sports mobile app and get your mobile war room ready ahead of the action on Friday. Okay. So we have a lot to unpack here. The stretch from noon on Thursday to 9 p.m. on Thursday was some of the wildest
bonkers
times. It was, right, Breach? Like, we've seen some really crazy bloggable things, and noon to 9 was insane.
Like, nonstop. Because, look, the morning started. So Thursday morning, there's just this absolutely ridiculous report that the 49ers offer the third overall pick to the Packers for Aaron Rodgers. And, like, when that started to surface, it was like, it came from some local radio show and it's just a bunch of hogwash and nobody believed it. And like, that's just one of those weird rumors you see on draft day. It can't possibly be true. And then all of a sudden, my God, the Aaron Rodgers bomb blows up before the draft even starts. And then we're all just kind of scrambling, texting each other, slacking each other, wondering what the hell's going on. So, I mean, guys, what the hell's going on?
Right. And that was sort of the prelude. So we've been doing this for, and we'll get to the Aaron Rodgers stuff in a minute, but I think we do need to do service to the quarterbacks, because for the last 3 months, it feels like 3 years, we've been talking about what the 49ers would do at number 3 overall. And if you, I think this is a really good lesson in how to bet the NFL draft, because if you read the tea leaves leading up to the draft, every single, you know, it was like, it doesn't make any sense that they would take Mac Jones at 3. No offense, Ryan. And then you would read these reputable insider mock drafts where they would pick Mac Jones and then he'd be like, well, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Trey Lance. And then the betting market's completely flipped. Trey Lance is a huge favorite. And when it all was said and done, Trey Lance was the number 3 overall pick.
How are you reading the tea leaves though? What are you reading?
I mean, you can just see everybody was walking it back for a week.
Every mock draft on Thursday morning had like 95% of them having had Mac Jones going to
three. Yeah, it was stupid. And you read the blurb, but it was like,
well, that's not reading the tea leaves. That's actually taking a risk, right?
How is it? What's taking a risk?
But I don't understand the tea leaves part, because if 95% of the people, you know, the people with sources, including like, you know, Schefter doesn't do one, but he's been on Mac Jones. Schrager, who knows people, was on Mac Jones for his 3 mock drafts. I mean, I think if you're going against the grain to try to make some money, because Mac was negative money until what, Wednesday night?
Thursday morning.
Thursday afternoon at like 2.
Okay, so you're taking a risk at that point.
Well, it's a little different too than the Baker Mayfield. And I feel like I explained this at the podcast. Baker Mayfield in 2018. That was a case where the Browns were number 1. They can leak that out at 8 a.m. in the morning and it doesn't affect anybody. But here's what Daniel Jeremiah wrote. Kyle Shanahan covets accuracy and good decision. He goes with Mac Jones. Kyle Shanahan covets accuracy and good decision making. Those are Jones' best qualities. In my gut, I still feel like Trey Lance could be the pick here, even though all signs are pointing to Mac. That's literally reading the tea leaves. And this is what every one of these were.
Well, I said the exact same thing. I'll tell you exactly what I said. So here's what I wrote. I've been writing this for weeks. We have no idea what happens here, but Kyle Shanahan was at his best when he was calling plays for Matt Ryan. This doesn't mean he isn't having visions of doing even more. With a talent like Trey Lance, We just don't know because the 49ers have been tight-lipped about their intentions. So, I mean.
Okay. I guess I'm trying to take a victory lap, even though I said it would be just.
No, we'll just say that. Yeah. Take your victory lap. Yeah. Absolutely.
It wasn't Mac. It wasn't ever going to be Mac. The Mac stuff was crap. It was a smoke screen.
It was a great smoke screen. I don't know that it never was going to be Mac, but I think here's the funny thing. So I wonder if the conversation at any point will be, why did he take Trey Lance, who started 17 games, played one game in the last 430 days, threw 133 passes in high school, over the other guys that were available? And I'm happy for Trey Lance. I hope he crushes it. But we'll see, because I think, and we can talk about it in a second, but like, I think this Mac Jones thing, we talked about this in podcasts before, this Mac Jones thing to New England has a chance to be, oh my God.
It can be great. I don't think Mac Jones sucks. I just didn't.
I know. And you have been, and to your credit, you have been on the anti-Mac Jones at three bandwagon forever. And just to be clear, and I have to point this out to people like RJ White, I never said Mac Jones at three. I said Mac Jones top 10. He went 15. So that's still in my face. But the point is, like, what, Bridge?
And just to be clear, only one of us predicted Trey Lance to the 49ers on our predictions podcast.
But you picked it in the seventh round after they took six straight kickers.
But you could still get six straight kickers.
Why did I go all in on Justin Fields instead of just, it should have been.
Cause you were going, even more against the grain.
That's I was going to say to be fair real quick, this, I think this was the first bold predictions podcast we ever did where we all got one right. Ever.
What was mine that I got right? Cause I got the six
yours was
wrong.
Two running backs would go in the first round, and Brinson's was J.C. Horn would be the first defensive player.
Made a bunch of money on that.
All right. Look at that.
Debo,
one thing quickly. How about the social team? If you're listening, I'm calling out people tonight.
Oh boy.
Let's go.
If Wilson is podcasting after midnight, it is Wilson after dark. You get ready for everything.
He's ready to kill your soul.
How about you put the, bold prediction I get right on the Instagram post? Not the one they get wrong. So everyone can say that they hate me. That's all I'm asking.
Do you mean before the draft?
They knew. That's all I'm saying. They knew.
You want them to put the bold prediction?
They knew which one they put on there.
I think what Wilson is saying is they put the boldest of the bold predictions, the one they know has no chance of being correct.
I actually caught flack for mine was the Chargers trade up for Sewell, and we were like, that's not bold. It's terrible.
I'm starting to think that people that leave comments are idiots. That's just me, though.
Debo, you are hanging out in the Fort Lauderdale studios. What was your reaction to the number three pick?
You know, that's a quarterback that the Eagles cannot take once we get to 12, because that was kind of my, like, it was my pipe dream to have another North Dakota State quarterback, you know, bring in Easton Stick and do what the Colts were doing with NC State quarterbacks a couple years ago. But yeah, no, I honestly was rooting for Ryan because he was.
Because you're a good person.
Yeah. I mean, you deserve that win after these TikTok haters. So I was rooting for Mac, but, after the day, wasn't surprised at all.
So my thing, I was only rooting for Mac to fall for my personal financial gain.
Oh, I've been around vindictive Brinson. You were completely and utterly just, I understood exactly what you're doing. And look, I will say this much. Like I expected Twitter to be yelling and screaming. Nah, everyone's cool about it.
I do think it is kind of, I mean, this is sort of the draft thing in a nutshell. We spent, I mean, how many words and tweets and radio interviews and hours and just slog was spent talking about how Mac Jones would be a bad pick for the 49ers at three. And maybe it was in the cards, but it didn't happen.
The more you talked about it, it didn't make sense.
Yeah. I mean, all right, let me ask you this. Different question. Wilson, do you think that the 49ers were going to take Mac Jones and change their mind anytime in the last week?
No, and you know why? I think the tell for me is that when Shanny gave that press conference 3 or 4 or 5 days ago.
Drew Brees and Lamar Jackson.
And he also said this, and you brought this up, I think, on the podcast. Well, I'm just trying to prepare the fans, and they're not going to like this pick. So I think he's just perpetuating the smoke screen because at the end of the day, I don't know why you're smoke screening at three. I don't know. Maybe the NFL doesn't want you to say that, and we understand that part of it. But that to me, like, he didn't change his mind from that point to this point. I think they've known for a while, and they may have known since Jump Street.
Well, and they did say to on Thursday after the pick, you know, the coach and general manager usually do an interview after the pick. They said that is who they traded up for. When they made the trade, it was for Trey Lance.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, they could be bluffing, but why bluff right now? You know, like, right. They could have just said, we were on, we didn't know. They didn't have to name anyone.
Wait,
they
could
have
said,
we weren't sure.
What changed? Matt, I mean, Kyle.
Oh, no, I don't think
Trey Lance hasn't played a game in forever.
I look, I'm not right often.
But except when you make your last mock draft, you're always right.
My last mock draft's really good. I was right on this, and I never thought it just didn't make any sense. It didn't pass the smell test. Like, why would you, the second you trade up, you're like, oh, right. We love Mac Jones.
The thing though.
It was like Tobias Fünke at the water cooler in Arrested Development. He's like, have you seen that Fünke? Oh my God, Fünke so hot.
But right I'm now. Telling you, if Mac Jones ends up being a superstar in New England, in 3 years we'll be saying, well, the 49ers should have taken him, and it would have made sense, is my point.
And this is the problem. This is the problem with like hot take discourse before, after, and during the draft is you can't. So for instance, I think the Mac Jones pick was great. I had the Patriots taking Mac Jones in my mock. I think it's a great fit. He doesn't have to play right away if he's not ready. And the assumption is like Mac Jones is pro ready. He'll be fine if he goes out there. That's not how this works.
Well, and there's a lot more pressure that comes with being the third overall pick than the 15th overall pick. And it was kind of like what Wilson was talking about. A year or two ago with Daniel Jones, where it was okay the Giants got him, just not at 6th overall. You get him at whatever their pick was, like 16th or 17th that year. You get him back that far. There's no pressure. It doesn't matter. But when you get someone in the top 10, you expect them to be able to come in and play right away.
I hope that everyone who listens to this podcast profited financially at the expense of Ryan Wilson from taking the Mac Jones over 3.5 at 2-1.
That's not my expense because I didn't bet on it.
No, but I mean, like,
here's the thing.
That's also the weird thing about this is like, Mac Jones went to the Patriots in the top 15.
Don't misunderstand. I am leaning all the way in on Mac Jones. I'm going to be parallel to the ground. Mac Jones is going to win. I'm going to pull a Prisco about.
And like, normally you were all in on Mac Jones. The Patriots drafted him with their first choice. That's the ultimate sign off on this guy is good.
Ryan, I do know over this. Under 3.5 Super Bowls for Mac Jones in his career. Over under 3. Let's just set it real high.
It will be over 3.5 in two years. That's how good he is. I do know this. I do know that
Mac Jones wins one Super Bowl. You are completely vindicated and can parade down the middle of Syracuse.
What if he wins a Derek Carr Super Bowl though? Does that count? Or David Carr Super Bowl? That
doesn't count.
Oh, dang it.
Like if Cam Newton leads him to a Super Bowl victory this year.
I'm counting.
The bench doesn't count.
I'm counting it.
Okay, so Mac.
What if he wins an MVP?
That's huge.
Nickelodeon valuable player.
Yeah.
Most, not Nickelodeon.
You know what, Breach? I don't know if he meant to do that, but the only winner in the history of the world of the MVP.
Oh, I didn't.
One, Mitchell Trubisky. He's out in Buffalo. I mean, he is in Buffalo. He's out of Chicago in Buffalo, and he is replaced by Justin Fields, who Ryan Pace, out of some illogical reason, has been gifted the ability to get his 17th quarterback in Chicago, and he traded a 2022 first-round pick to move up. But this is the craziest effing trade. Yes, Musso in the house. Joe Musso here. Bear fan Brinson, welcome aboard. I am a little miffed that they took Fields. I wanted to take Mac Jones just to root against.
Hey, Brinson.
And Andy Dalton.
Did you see, I got to find it real quick. Did you see Breach's passive aggressive Bears tweet? He is the absolute.
I'm not a fan of Justin Fields' game. Has he never
played? That's not what the tweet said at all. Are you kidding me? I'm from Ohio. I grew up watching Ohio State. Why would I not be a fan of Justin Fields' game? That's ridiculous. It's the most absurd thing you've ever said, and you say 10 absurd things per podcast.
By the way, you know that, I don't know if you saw this, Ryan Pace came out and was like, listen, the fact of the matter is Andy Dalton is our starting quarterback. We are going to develop Justin Fields. Andy Dalton's our starter. You won't believe this, Breach. He said the exact same thing with Mike Glennon and Mr. Trubisky back in 2017 when that situation happened. So let me ask you this, Wilson. Is Ryan Pace a bigger winner or is Justin Fields a bigger loser for how they came together?
So here's my concern. Like, I love Justin Fields and I hope he has a ton of success. And I think he's, you know, Mac Jones doesn't want to go to Chicago and have to throw the ball in that weather with the issue. You know, people say his arm isn't strong. He'll be in New England. So maybe it's a half dozen one, but if you're Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy and you're basically, a rabid dog backed into a corner because you're about to get fired, are you going to push Justin Fields out there too soon? Is it going to be the case that you're going to
succumb? Really with Trubisky. They're definitely going to push him out there.
That's the thing. So you're going to succumb to peer pressure, fan pressure, media pressure after close your ears breach, after the second game where Andy Dalton throws 12 interceptions and you're like, okay, well, this isn't clearly going to work. Justin, I hope you're ready because this is what I've been saying for months. Justin Fields is Trevor Lawrence in year two. Like, I feel like he needs some time. Like, you can play him in November and maybe that's fine because these guys play early now. But man, I don't know with that doo-doo offense, if we're being honest.
I'll just say real quick, the difference between the Mike Glennon and Mitchell Trubisky situation and Andy Dalton.
Oh, get out of town.
Justin Fields situation, for instance, is partly
shorter quarterback.
Partly what I talked about is Trubisky was taken much higher, number two overall. So there's a lot more pressure to play a second overall pick versus 11th overall.
He traded up for a ton of
stuff. Now, hold on a second.
First round pick, dude.
Can you listen? Can I finish? Can I finish my point?
Can I finish? Yes, you can.
And so now Trubisky's also trying to win a job against Mike Glennon, who had less than 20 career starts going into that competition. So he wasn't a clear cut. Dalton's got more than 100 starts, so he's a seasoned veteran, so it would make sense. I don't think they're going to feel as much pressure to start Fields if they don't think he's ready. If he outplays Andy Dalton training camp, you put him in. It's a no-brainer. That's why you drafted him.
Do you want to explain it to him or you want me to, Wilson?
Yeah, I'll just say two things and you can.
I just don't think it's similar to the Glennon
Breach. This
risky situation. I think that's a horrible comparison.
Breach, this is called Stockholm Syndrome.
Yes, that's it.
Go ahead, Brenton.
Thank you. No, that's all I had. It's Stockholm Syndrome.
What are you talking about? This is not similar to Trubisky Glennon at all. That's it. There's nothing Andy Dalton
kidnapped by Andy Dalton and you can't escape.
Oh, you know what Belichick said tonight? He said Cam Newton is the starter going into this season for the Patriots.
Cause that team doesn't suck. That's why he said that.
Yeah.
They went 7-9 last year. They were under 500.
Greatest quarterback in Bears history.
Hold on. Let me ask Breach something. Breach, right now, whatever your better choice is, who wins more games next year, the Patriots or the Bears?
The Patriots.
All right. Okay. Second bet, Breach. Who starts more games, Andy Dalton or Justin Fields?
I thought you were going to say Cam Newton. And
I did too.
That would be weird.
No, we're talking about both teams.
I'm going to go.
Come on.
I'm going to go with. Well, because listen, here's the risk. If you start the season with him as your starting quarterback, there's no safety net.
They won't do that.
That's what I'm saying. So if Andy Dalton starts off as the starter, I think if they get a few wins, he probably gets benched midway through the season. So he might get 8 or 9 starts.
No way.
They gave Mike 4 starts.
I was going to say over under score and a half.
With John Fox coaching. They're going to do the same damn thing with this. This is time is a flat circle. Matthew McConaughey is smashing that beer can. And it's just instead of Mike Glennon, who've got a you're lucky. You know what, Breach? You're lucky. If there wasn't a friggin' pandemic going on, Andy Dalton would be weeping at some draft party right now because they drafted Justin Fields after inviting him QB1 to the draft party like they did to Mike. This regime in Chicago sucks. And they are going to screw this up the same way they screwed the last thing up.
But if they found lightning in a bottle and if
Justin Fields is great.
If he's Deshaun Watson and you fall ass backwards into Deshaun Watson, the football player, then
you can overcome it.
You're going to be around for an extra.
All the pressure's in year one, because if the Bears aren't good next year, Maggie and Pace might get fired.
Well, that's why Andy Dalton's not playing 8 games, Breach.
But that's also the risk of putting the rookie in there right away. If he's starting for 15 games and goes 5-10, Pace and Maggie might still get fired, but you keep Fields like that.
Well, how many games do you think Andy Dalton's winning for the Bears, man? What are you doing?
17.
What are you talking about? I just said if Fields starts 15, that would imply that Dalton loses the first two and then Fields is the starter.
Over under 8.5 wins for Andy Dalton as a starter next year if he starts all 17 games.
If he starts all 17 games?
Over under 8.5.
We've got an entire draft to talk about. We can't spend podcasts on it. Over. He's over. It's over.
That Bear, by the way, Dave Gettleman has no, I cannot believe this happened to Dave Gettleman. Yeah. Andrew Day says Dalton every podcast. Look, man, we can't.
Every single one.
That we do. It is sort of like a circular thing. But so Dave Gettleman has never traded back in the first round, and we all like to clown him for it. He's like, I'm not getting fleeced. There's no way I'm getting fleeced. And I cannot believe the Bears gave him a 2022 first round pick. That is going to be top 10.
By the way,
this reeks of Houston. This is exactly like the Texans. That is going to be a high pick, and Dave Gettleman is going to draft an interior defensive lineman at 5 or a running back.
But he didn't do it in the later in the round.
I was saying next year when he has.
No, I know, but this is the first time in forever. You know, I would joke last week and the week before that he only takes fat wide receivers too. He didn't. He actually took one that could help Daniel Jones. We'll see, but.
Well, so let's veer off the quarterback convo for 1 second because I am curious about that trade. Wilson, would you rather have Kadarius Toney and the Bears 2022 first round pick, which is, by the way, being held up by Andy Dalton, or
Devon, and Justin Fields.
Yeah. Well, you said. You,
I mean, this is Stockholm Syndrome.
I know it's crazy.
So here's how, I'll turn the question on you because this is the concern. Would you rather have, Justin Jefferson or Jalen Reagor? Because I mean, on paper, both guys look great.
Unnecessary dagger at Debo who's sitting here in the video.
But Debo circled back. He circled back and got his guy this time. But my point is that, on paper, at the time, you're like, oh, it's fine. It'll work out. That was wide receiver 4 and wide receiver 5 last year, I think. Jalen was 4, I think, and then Justin was 5. This year, Devontae was 3, which we all pretty much figured. And then anybody could have been 4. There were a bunch of different names. I like Kadarius Toney a lot.
Sure.
But if Devontae Smith has
– Devontae Smith, no doubt. But like that Bears first-round pick could be top 5.
No, because 8.5 over 80
Dalton. I have Andy Dalton, and he has a laser shock tag in my back and tells me I can't say anything bad about him.
Oh, well, you guys are saying that Justin Fields could be awesome. So either way, no matter whose point of view you're going by, the Bears aren't going to give the Giants a 5th.
Do you know the
if you give me a future first for a team that is starting Andy Dalton and a rookie quarterback, I am licking. I'm like, you know, Glenn Davis, big baby thing where he's like licking his lips. He's running back down the court, the gif. Like that's how I am. I'm thinking like this thing might be top 3. Like we might have the number 1 overall. There's a chance that the Bears give Dave Gettleman the number 1 overall pick next year. It's not off the table.
I'm not saying it's bad value, but you really see a path to the Bears being that bad.
You're the guy who tweeted that Justin Fields could be the best quarterback in the NFC North, and you all of a sudden think that the Bears are going to be the worst team in the NFL?
If Aaron Rodgers gets traded. There's a path to everything in the NFL in any given year, man.
There's no path to the Bears being the worst team in the NFL next year.
Maybe Justin Fields gets hurt, and they have to start Andy Dalton for 17 weeks, and they're the worst team in the NFL. That's entirely possible.
There's no path. Not going to happen.
Hey, Breach.
I hadn't heard the dunk of my headphones in like 7 weeks. That feels good.
Yeah, your podcast. You can't even hear what's going on.
Anyway, the other quarterback that was taken in the first round, because there were only 5. That's
uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis.
The thing about this draft is that it was like, hey, Jaguars, wrap it up, B. If you take this full time allotment, you too, Jets, what are we doing here?
They milked it. Yeah. They didn't need to milk it. It's like trying to milk the cow and there's no milk left.
Right.
What was that?
It's not a pretty sight.
Do that again, Breach.
Somebody could gift, if you're watching on YouTube, please gift that.
Next time we talk about milking a cow, I'll do it again.
Mac Jones, 15 to the Patriots. Wilson, as the preeminent Mac Jones supporter, not just on this podcast, but in the entire country.
Yeah, baby.
Obviously, you weren't thrilled that he didn't go 3 because it, you know.
I wanted him to go 3 for sure because I've been saying forever, top 10. Like, there are teams that can see. Dude, I will say this. I talked to a handful of teams, more than 3, that thought he was a top 10 pick. They had him as their number 2 quarterback. Clearly some of those teams didn't need quarterbacks, but, I know.
Just to provide some context, so like the Lions didn't trade out. That's right. A factor.
We talked about this, I think, on one of the previous
shows. 4, 5, 6 were not moving.
Mm-hmm.
7 didn't move.
right? Eight didn't move. Eight could have moved and didn't, right?
Eight and no, the Panthers took J.C. Horn at eight, and then the Broncos
Sertan.
And at that point, the
Cowboys said we're out.
Yep. Short flip for Devontae Smith, right? I mean, so it's not like Mac Jones fell to the bottom of the first round because he sucks. There was this weird situation with how the draft stacked up.
And I'll tell you this. I do know this. The Patriots are sweating when the Bears traded up and took the wrong guy.
would you take Mac over Fields?
I had him ranked 11 and 12 on my big board because I like them both a lot. But the NFL teams I spoke with liked Mac better. So that sort of had me leaning towards Mac. And of course I've been all in on Mac, but I like, dude, when, we got to, when did Mac, what would pick the Mac go? I mean, did, Justin go?
11.
Justin went 11, Mac went 15.
So at 10, after the Cowboys traded down, I was thinking that maybe the Patriots tried to trade for Mac Jones. And I was thinking, okay, how can the Steelers get Justin Fields? Like I was already having that conversation and then he went 11. So I would be ecstatic. But I think Mac obviously has a better path of success in New England as opposed to Justin in an organization that has Andy Dalton.
See, I mean, Breach, I don't bring up Andy Dalton, but I am curious if you think that's the big juxtaposition. Like I would almost rather take the quarterback, Breach, who ends up in New England versus the quarterback who I think is better in Justin Fields, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, with quarterbacks, who you think is going to be the best is all about, is 90% of it is landing spot. I mean, I think we were talking about who would have the most success out of certain quarterbacks. And we all agreed it probably be the one that ends up with Kyle Shanahan because his system is the best setup for a quarterback. If he has someone he likes and he thinks can run it efficiently. And, you know, obviously he thinks that with Trey Lance. So I would say going to, you know, the Bears have no history of having good quarterbacks almost ever. And so that's, you know, if you're a quarterback, you're probably not sitting at home wishing to go to the Bears, but you might be saying, oh, I wish I could go to the 49ers. I wish I could go to the Patriots. You know, the Bears probably aren't at the top of your list if you're a quarterback.
All right. So you know, when you talk about, you know, the Browns and the Steelers in that playoff game where Browns fans were, please, Mike Tomlin, please punt, please punt, please punt. If you're a Bears fan, and when they were on the clock and they traded up, you're like, if these guys take Mac Jones, I'm going. I mean, if they had taken Mac Jones, and I'm not saying that Mac wouldn't work out in Chicago. It's just like, if they take Mac Jones and they for Fields, it would have been incredible, an incredible 365 days. We would have been just pirouette dunking on the Bears over and over and over. Even and if Mac was good, he was stuffed in our face, but it never felt like they were going to do that. And I think at the end, the picks ended up going the right spot, but I really wanted the Bears to.
Well, I mean, and that's the funny thing is like Mac Jones, it's like, man, if he ended up in San Francisco, I don't think that's a good fit. If he goes to Chicago, I don't think that's a good fit. He gets to New England and it's like, this is the one spot where I think this is the spot that's most ideally suited for him. So.
Is this, Ryan, if you had to pick a landing spot for Mac Jones, your guy, is New England it? I still think it's San Francisco.
Yeah, no.
Like, anybody who plays in San Francisco is going to win.
But, I mean, San Francisco's one. I mean, you could even argue maybe the Rams are in the mix. They're not, obviously not looking for a quarterback.
No, give me somebody without a quarterback.
Yeah. One San Fran and then New England. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
The only downside of San Fran is that he would have gotten in there with all this hate. Like fans did not want him, the 49ers fans. And so that's a dark cloud to have over your head going into your rookie year. That's high expectations combined with the fact if you struggle at all, you're in trouble.
That's a great point. It's a lot like Alex Smith versus Aaron Rodgers. You know, like they took Alex Smith over Aaron Rodgers.
But the issue, I mean, that's a fantastic example of going to the right place too. If you're Aaron Rodgers, you don't play right away. And San Fran had, if you look at their record, had an incredibly crappy run until Harbaugh got there. And
they jammed Alex Smith in there. Like, hey, go
that's
win.
Right. Yeah. And to Breach's point, they didn't give up three first round picks to take Alex Smith. They were there. And I think that's exactly right. So there's less pressure on Trey Lance because he's not Mac Jones, but that conversation is going to change quickly if he struggles. That's just the reality of it.
Someone pointed out on Twitter, I can't remember who it was, and maybe I'll say it to you. It's like if Aaron Rodgers demanded a trade to San Francisco.
This is great.
And then when he got there, he's like, JK, I'm out. I'm retiring. You should have drafted me at one and walked away. That would be the ultimate F you. So what will happen with Aaron Rodgers? We'll talk about that plus more draft talk after the break.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so we talked quarterbacks. I mean, it was the storyline. I don't know that it could have unfolded any crazier. Like, Lance is the guy that's unexpected. He goes 3. The Bears trade up for Justin Fields. And then the Patriots just land Mac Jones. But there are also lots of other players in the draft. We're not even going to spend a second talking about Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson because they were as expected. I don't even know that talking about Kyle Pitts is worth anything. Right, Ryan? Or even, Breach, we'll go Jamar Chase.
Yeah, let's let Breach talk about this guy.
Are you happy about the Bengals taking Jamar Chase over Penei Sewell?
Well, I will just say real quick, I was on team Penei Sewell, but I was 51-49. I would have been happy with either guy. Jamar Chase is such an explosive receiver. And now all of a sudden you look at the Bengals skill players, you know, you're talking about Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, Joe Mixon, Jamar Chase. Like, that is a pretty stacked lineup. And again, the defense, it needs to improve, but if you can score points, you can stay in games and hopefully you can eventually win these close games the Bengals haven't been able to win. So I am completely fine with this pick. And you know, part of it, like, I see the grade right now as a B+. If the Bengals also, pick up an offensive lineman in the second round, cause that was the whole thing. If you get Jamar Chase, you need to get a good offensive lineman in the second round. So if they get someone like, Tevin Jenkins, who probably won't last until the Bengals pick, but if he were to, it's boom. Then the Jamar Chase pick is even better because you got who else you wanted. So I'm fine with this pick and I think he'll be good for the Bengals.
I wouldn't worry too much about the grade. If you scroll through our entire draft tracker, Pete Briscoe has, it's C's and A.
What's 24?
What's that?
What's 24? What do you give the Steelers? Thank you, Debo.
C.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Wait.
I don't like picking backs in the first round.
Good. Hold on. Let me
come later.
Let me stop.
See, Ryan.
Hold on. Just listen for a second.
He was yanking off. Okay, fine.
I don't want you to steal my thunder. And if you weren't, then you can say whatever you're going to say. So he gives the Steelers a C for taking Najee Harris. But the Jaguars get a C+ for Travis Etienne when they have needs at offensive line, defensive line, cornerback,
and safety,
edge rusher, linebacker, and they have a ton of picks in the second and third round.
Did you hear what Urban Meyer said after the draft?
What? He took the wrong job?
No. I was like, all right, so like, what do you love about Travis Etienne? He goes, well, we really see James Robinson and Carlos Hyde as our 1 and 2 guys. And then Etienne's going to be our third down back. I'm sorry. Like, either you're lying or you're stupid or both. Like what is it? You use a 25th overall pick on a third down back. What are you doing?
Etienne's a C+ over a C.
Yeah. That's bad. Look at Pete's grades suck. Pete's lost his fastball. You can clip this and send it to him. That old man, tiny man, has lost his fastball.
You know what's funny about the Dolphins is they had the same exact situation as the Bengals, where I think a lot of Dolphins fans were kind of hoping they would take Penei Sewell because you still have him available. And then you're also, the other half of fans are saying, you know what, let's get the receiver. He's still on the board. He played with Tua. Tua looked a little shaky throwing the ball last year. So if we bring in somebody he's familiar with, this could totally revamp the offense. And boom, what do they do? Jaylen Waddle. I thought that was the craziest thing, that we saw, what, 4 receivers who are now playing with their college who are playing in the NFL with the college quarterback they had?
Yeah, that's a good point. I had Waddle going 6th to the Dolphins in my mock, so I wasn't surprised by that. I had Sewell go. I mean, it was pretty chalky through the. And I think we stressed this on the pod. I think we did, right? Throughout the entire process, there was a massive drop off around 12, 13, or 14. And it happened. That's why the Jets traded up for Elijah Vera Tucker. You knew that after that, it took a massive dip and there was going to be craziness everywhere around. So I don't know what my exact point there was, Wilson, because we were diving back into the stream or what Breach was talking about, but I assume he likes Ja'Marr Chase and the Bengals are going to pick up a lineman in the second round. Be fine.
Well, maybe. And, you know, we talked about this with Breach on the last podcast. You're taking wide receiver one and offensive line six or seven as opposed to Penei Sewell, offensive lineman one and wide receiver six or seven. So we'll see. I don't hate. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is hard to pass up. I get all that. And, you know, if Joe Burrow's happy on crutches, then more power to him.
I just don't think you were going to see a situation where if you go Sewell at five, also Ja'Marr Chase wore black and white, like black and orange white cleats to the draft.
Cause he knew he was getting drafted.
If you see a guy show up in the colors of the team that he's projected to by 99% of analysts and you have a chance to bet like any amount of juice, lay that juice.
And by the time that happened and by the time I told you guys it was definite, it was only negative 175 at that point, which was kind of shocking.
I went back in on it. Thank you, Breach. The guys who are still available at offensive line, Tevin Jenkins, Liam Eichenberg, is it Eichenberg or
Eichen?
Eichenberg from Notre Dame, Sam Cosmi, Dylan Raddins, who's, Trey Lance's old left tackle are the top guys. And then you know, Walker Little, some more guys you can throw in there. If you look at those guys and you compare them with the available wide receiver, Elijah Moore, Terrence Marshall, who has terrible medicals.
No, he just has a name.
Amari Rodgers, Josh Palmer, Rondell Moore, Tiami Brown. I think the Bengals did the right thing here.
I mean, we'll looking at out. The available receivers, getting Penei Sewell and Elijah Moore, that would be a pretty nice tandem.
I don't think they get Elijah Moore.
Oh, well, I mean, even Terrence Marshall played with Joe Burrow, or if you want to go all the way down to, I mean, there's a few receivers there. I think at least one of them is going to be available when they would be picking.
So you would prefer that they would have Sewell and?
Yeah, he's been saying that from Jump Street.
Okay.
I understand why you would love Ja'Marr Chase, obviously.
But the problem for the Bengals is most of these wide receivers we have listed right here, Rondell Moore, Elijah Moore, again, Marshall with the medicals, I think he might fall.
He's a name.
Tommy Brown, it's fine if he doesn't. Sage Surratt. Go ahead and take Sage Surratt. These guys are kind of slotty. Like they're slot receivers. And you already have Tyler Boyd. He's already extended.
No, Elijah Moore can play inside and out. Who else are you talking about? Tiami Brown's outside. He's a deep ball guy.
He's not like a number one.
Well, here's the thing. He doesn't need to be number one in that offense. And this is what we said all week. T. Higgins was a second round pick and he had a great season.
I think the Bengals did the right thing.
We'll find out.
I'll let Breach be the ultimate arbiter of what happened.
I mean, it's hard. You can't get angry at your team for taking Ja'Marr Chase.
No, not at all. And we'll find out. Whatever lineman they take, there's still a few left on the board that will make this.
What if they take Breach? What if they take another wide receiver in the second round? What are you going to do there?
That would be awesome. I mean, honestly, if they want to lose games 49-45, I'm in.
Yeah. Well, they won't score
more fun to watch.
45 because Joe Burrow will be dead.
Then they'll trade a first round pick for Ryan Finley.
who would complain about that? All right. Let's go back to this first round and look at it. So Waddle goes six. What was the most surprising? The first five picks were pretty chalky.
You want my most surprising pick?
Yeah.
Why in God's name?
Here we go.
Are the Raiders so bad at this?
They're bad at it.
Why are you drafting Alex Leatherwood?
They took Alex Leatherwood 17th overall and it kind of flew under the radar. What are they doing? And why did Prisco give him a B?
There you go.
That was the guy who most people had projected in the second or third round, right?
Yeah, that was the guy I was like, if the Bengals take Ja'Marr Chase, they can get Leatherwood in the second round.
He's a day two guy. And look, he's a solid guy, but he's not a spectacular guy. He's not. Here's the thing.
I want you to read that blurb on the screen and then read the grade.
Okay. So Alex Leatherwood, I don't love this pick. They need line help, but he's more of a second round pick in my mind. P. Prisco. B.
How's that B? Grow up, Prisco. Give him an F, man. What do you
think? Maybe it stands for B as in bad pick.
Here's a conversation.
Prisco has changed his grading system.
I had a conversation with a scout in 2019 about, Jedrick Wills and Alex Leatherwood, because Leatherwood at the time, it wasn't clear if he's going to return to school. And I said, so what do you think of Leatherwood compared to Jedrick Wills? And this is all the scout said. Ryan, it's not even close. And Jedrick Wills was dominant last year.
Yeah.
Mostly Andre Thomas came along at the end. He struggled early, but all the first round guys, Leatherwood can kick inside, I guess, but are you taking a guard at 17 that's not Elijah Vera Tucker? So I get it, but to what Breach just said, you could have gotten him in the second round almost certainly. This is, feels like a
Your whole defense sucks.
Yes. This is a Clint Farrell pick, and that you're like, what are you doing?
I almost feel like it's a parody at this point because we're ripping the Raiders.
It's a troll job.
But I mean, like, what are we doing here? Your defense sucks. Your pass catcher, Henry Ruggs, you better hope is anywhere close to CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy or Justin Jefferson. God help you. Your next best wide receiver is Hunter Renfrow behind Brian Edwards. And then you got Darren Waller, obviously, who's great and you stumbled into. This feels like a classic Gruden over Mayock pick again. Gruden won't stop drafting Clemson and Bama dudes.
That's not a bad strategy if you draft the right ones.
Yeah, but if you draft the role players whose status is elevated by their teams being good, you're going to – that's like signing free agents from Super Bowl teams. That's how you end up being terrible.
Ryan, this team, who did you think they should have taken?
So, let's see. Let me see.
Davis, Phillips. I'm not a Phillips fan, but.
No, I like Phillips a lot if he's healthy. So
yeah, I'm not.
So here's the thing, Breach. That they were linked with Trevon Merrick, the safety out of TCU, who would have helped. Micah Parsons was gone by then, but I'm trying to look real quick and see at the where. So 17, Jalen Phillips. Princeton Smith, Quiddy Pay went 21. Quiddy Pay has a chance to be really good. They need Edgerus help desperately.
Yeah.
That would have made sense. Greg Newsome went 26 to the Browns. He's going to be a really good player, it feels like. The Peyton Turner pick was interesting. A lot of, there's some buzz late last week that he might be sneaking in. I didn't think he would, but he did. I think Daniel Jeremiah was all over that. Eric Stokes, I don't love that pick, but Jason Elway, Joe Tryon, two edge rushers that went in the bottom of the first round. Gregory Rousseau would have even been a better pick. Jalen Phillips' teammate at Miami who opted out. But even if you want to go offensive line, that's fine. But why don't you go with someone who has, like, a Christian Darrisaw makes sense. He was the last offensive lineman to go, and that was at 23. Caleb Farley went 22.
What are these defenders? Greg Rousseau, Eric Stokes, Peyton Turner, Newsom.
I would have been fine taking a flyer on Caleb. Here's the thing. You take a flyer on Caleb Farley, who's a top 10 pick with an injury issue. That's better than Leatherwood. As we sit here, maybe Leatherwood's a Hall of Famer, but just based on what I saw and the people I talked to, like this is sort of, you know, run of the mill John Gruden, but this team is not better right now than they were Wednesday night.
I don't get it. I in fact, I'm a little flummoxed that I missed the pick in the middle. What happened before that pick? Something crazy?
I don't think so. What do you mean?
So the Mac Jones thing happened, and I probably got loose on Twitter.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Mac Jones happened. It's like,
Brenton blacked out, and his fingers – it's like Jim Carrey in right. Bruce Almighty just –
And the Raiders were like, now we take Alex Leatherwood. This team – if this is Mayock pulling the strings, and I don't think it is, if it's Mayock pulling the strings, then they have a problem.
So let me ask you this. What if Mac Jones is there at 17? Do they take Mac Jones?
No.
Man, they took Alex Leatherwood at 17.
But I think, like,
this is the offensive version of Cleveland Farrell at 4.
I think that they would take it. Like, maybe if it's Justin Fields or Trey Lance, I think they take one of those quarterbacks there at 17.
They have drafted.
And that's a better pick than Alex Leatherwood. No offense to Alex Leatherwood.
By my metrics, they have drafted.
My metrics. Wins over Brinson.
They've drafted 8 in the last 3 drafts. Last 3 drafts. Or 2 in a first round. 8 Clemson and Alabama players. And they are, by all accounts, the worst Clemson and Alabamers you can draft.
By the way.
It's Henry Ruggs, Tanner Muse, John Simpson, Cleveland Farrell, Josh Jacobs, Hunter Renfro, and Alex Leatherwood. Like, that's, what are you doing? What the hell are you doing? Why are you grabbing at Clemson and Bama scraps? What is happening here? This is insane.
I feel horrible because I feel like we always pick on the Raiders, and then they'll turn the season around. They looked good last year toward the middle. And we're like, all right, we're going to stop picking on the Raiders. The Raiders are doing good things. And then boom, we get to the draft and here we are again. The vicious circle of life of us, picking on the Raiders starts all over. Sorry, Raiders fans.
I feel like Mike Mayock is trapped, and he knows that if he pulled the ripcord and left Oakland or left Las Vegas, people would say, oh, Mayock's picks. Gruden will put the picks on him. Now, all these picks are on Mayock. He's banged. All these picks are on him.
You know, it's funny. Like I've been watching, in the week leading up to the draft, like the old telecasts of the previous drafts, like going back to we talked about the Mel Kiper getting yelled at by,
Bill Tobin.
But also you see Mayock as a on-air personality talking about the picks and sort of doing those retros. The ones that you've been on, Brent, and the other shows where they talk to the sportscaster or the journalist about the 10 best linebackers in history. You used to do them at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But that sort of those NFL films thing, they had Mayock talking about whatever. And he looked much happier. Like doing that job was probably a lot less stressful than the one he has to do now.
Well, it just feels very clear to me that Mike Mayock is doing the same work he was doing at the NFL Network.
And he's doing more work
on hours and hours of tape on prospects and preparing a draft board. And then John Gruden comes strolling in with a Corona in his hand. He's like, hey, we're taking Leatherwood. And he's like, well, all right, dude. Like, if I say no, then John's going to fire me because John has $100 million 10-year contract. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, it's not great, Bob.
I don't want to pick on the Raiders. We're not picking the Raiders, but that's the worst pick of the first round. How did Prisco give that a B? What is he doing?
Classic. He gave Prisco. That a B, gave Najee Harris a C.
Scared and old and washed. Clip that and send it to him, Debo. All right, let's bring Debo back in for a second. Before we keep moving down the board, we do need to talk about the NFC East scramble up top. How did you feel, Debo? I need to know your multiple feelings. First, I want to know your feeling about when you heard that Howie Roseman, who we all know on this podcast that you hate, was trading with the team you hate more, the Dallas Cowboys, to move up. And what was it like as that was unfolding? What was your best case and worst case scenario? And then, of course, how do you feel after the fact that you got Devonta Smith?
All right. So thinking about it, I was just like, okay, this seems like a move for a wide receiver. In my mind, I support the pick. I will say that when they traded up and a quarterback like Justin Fields is on the board. My first choice at number 10 was Justin Fields. I will say that right now. I think he is going to be a superstar quarterback. I want to give Jalen Hurts a chance. I'm encouraged. You know, he's reunited with his college teammate, Devontae Smith. I want a Justin Fields straight up. But Devontae Smith is as about a good of consolation prize as you can get. And it's weird. I think the Eagles fan base right now is so happy with Howie Roseman. It's just not something we're programmed to feel on draft night after these past couple of years, but I haven't seen one negative comment about Devontae Smith. Nothing about his weight, nothing about anything from the Eagles fan base. So that's just a pretty unique feeling and something that I didn't imagine was possible based on the past couple of drafts. But in terms of a fan perspective, this is a home run.
All right. So this is what my immediate reaction during the pick was like, first of all, Dave Gettleman traded. Was it the Cowboys traded down the Eagles?
Yep.
Who traded up over Dave Gettleman? It was an NFC East melee for a second there.
My other thought was kind of just like, screw you, Giants again. Like, we lost in week 17, kept you away from the playoffs, got that better pick, got an extra first round pick, and
we're admitting you tanked.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I said that at the time. That was clear. Whatever Doug Peterson wants to say, he's gone. But, you know, you get the better pick, you get an extra first round pick, and then you trade up to steal the guy that they were obviously trying to pick.
Clearly trying to pick.
The value, yeah, they get an extra first round pick, but absolutely I'm taking. Like, Kadarius Toney was my worst case scenario, and I thought that was going to be the guy that they were relegated to at 12, and it could have been if they didn't get that trade up. So thank you. I'm saying this one time maybe in my life. Thank you to the Cowboys for agreeing to that deal, because who knows? We could have some pitchforks out for Howie Roseman if Devontae went 11 to the Giants, and then it's just Howie taking Toney at 12.
Wilson, do you think that Howie Roseman made this pick and made this trade specifically to satisfy an angry fan base?
Well, real quick, Debo got his cake, got to eat it too, because his worst case scenario was Kadarius Toney, and that's who ended up going to the Giants.
A little more acceptable at 20.
First round pick could be really good. I mean, yeah. That could be a really good pick. Like, that Bears first round pick could end up being, I don't know if you know who the next best edge rushers are in the 2022 class, Wilson, but
I'll tell you Sunday. We'd have to do this stupid mock draft.
I mean, maybe like, that Bears first round pick could be like the Dolphins. Sounds like a Kevin Clark tweet, but the Dolphins first round pick, which eventually getting swapped with the Eagles first round pick. Like, that's where the Bears, if the Bears suck, that pick could be great. But Devontae Smith is special. And no. If you're Howie Roseman, you can't come out of the, you can't be like, we got two first round picks in the future and Kadarius Toney. Yeah.
So Debo, would you rather have Devontae Smith where you got him or trade up to get like JC Horn or Patrick Surtain?
Devontae. Absolutely. Okay. Give, you know, you're rolling with Jalen Hurts at least for next year. Give him the necessary weapons we talked about the other day. Right now the weapons are maybe emerging Jalen Reagor, Travis Fulgham, Greg Ward, JJ Arcega-Whiteside. Like, it's just, you know, I think they put Carson Wentz in a really bad situation last year. I'd like that trend not to continue with the quarterbacks and at least give these guys a shot. And I think Devontae's going to ball out at the next level.
Do you guys ever look at Zach Wilson and go, he's 7? Like, years old.
And the funny thing is when you see his family,
adult I've ever seen in my life,
because I'm watching the replay now as we do this, and his family is all Zach Wilson clones. So a lot of his, whether it's brothers, sisters, cousins, whatever, they all look the same, which is sort of funny.
Yeah. No, I Breach, I'm curious. You're a beautiful mind of sorts.
Yeesh.
Ex Cowboys fan.
You've been deep in the Cowboys. Who won the Cowboys-Eagles tete-a-tete?
I think the Eagles did, because I can only imagine that conversation, because it really does feel like the Giants were going to take Devontae Smith. That's who they were eyeing. They were ready to grab him because obviously they wanted a receiver. They ended up taking one at 20. And then, you know, then the Cowboys and Eagles have this conversation, which I'm guessing they loved having. Can you imagine Howie Roseman talking to old Jerry? Printing to your Jerry impression saying, I still understand
why you don't like saddles and stuff. Like, what are we doing here?
Howie's saying, I'm going to give you 4 saddles if you switch spots with me, and I'm going to take Devontae Smith.
Hey, you don't understand the Pythagorean theorem of the.
And by the way, there were concerns about Micah Parsons' maturity issues and Micah Parsons' issues in terms of being laser focused on football. And look. I'm happy for all these guys getting drafted, even Alex Leatherwood and Raiders fans. But these are just the things that some teams are saying. So they didn't get a sure thing in J.C. Horn or Patrick Surtain, which I think they wanted Patrick Surtain. Micah Parsons, again, if he's focused, that's a fantastic pick. But if he's not, and Devonta Smith, you know, is Devonta Smith, then you're just like, okay, didn't work out.
Yeah, I give the Eagles the slight edge right now.
Of the three teams in the NFC East that made picks and moved around in that little melee that I mentioned, I think the Eagles were the best getting Devontae Smith. This freaking Heisman winner. And he can take short stuff deep. That's perfect for Jalen Hurts. For the Cowboys, it's like, man, like, you know, Sean Lee just retired and that sucks. And you didn't pick up the fifth year option on Leighton Vander Esch, but that's on you. You messed up and didn't get linebackers right. And now all of a sudden,
you still need a cornerback and a safety.
I know.
And an edge rusher.
They got smoked by the Panthers and the Broncos. They should have traded up with the Lions and taken a cornerback.
But they need those picks to fill out all the other friggin' needs they have.
Yeah, and actually, I think the Cowboys should have taken Rashawn Slater.
I was going to say, they could.
Why is getting old?
They could have stayed put. That's right.
Just stay put, take Rashawn Slater, and move on. And the Micah Parsons thing at 12 to me is not good.
No, it could be. It could be.
It could be fine. He's got a bunch of red flags.
Not a bunch. There's some questions. But I mean, if he's Devin White, you're okay with it.
He ain't Devin White.
Well, dude, I mean, he's, on the field,
I'm not like rah-rah Penn State, like all alum, like go team in the NFL. He's like the best player I've seen in college. Right. Yeah.
Right. Are you going to get a Micah Parsons Cowboy jersey?
He is. Eba? Nope.
Oh my God. What if
Micah What if we Parsons get him that for Christmas for being our producer? What do you guys think?
Okay. Moving along.
It's a yes.
The number 24 pick overall.
By the way, does anyone bring a conversation to a stop quicker than Breach?
Well, I'm trying to move this thing along by being tactful. Unlike Wilson, who just says, I'm grumpy and I'm sleepy. And if you guys don't keep moving, I'm quitting and getting off the podcast and talking to somebody else on a podcast that's not CBS's.
I actually had a three pick stretch where I called the picks correctly. Caleb Farley, Christian Darrisaw, and Najee Harris. Najee Harris, not that impressive because 98% of mocks had Najee Harris going to the Steelers. It felt like a smokescreen, Wilson, and they still took him.
No, the funny thing about Steelers picks is everyone knows them the week before, and they always take them. It's like that's the ease, and they're always picking in the 20s.
They don't care.
No, they don't care. That's right. So let me see. Darrisaw, where did he go? I want to see if I got him right.
Farley went 22 to the Titans. And
Farley went 22. I had Farley going 28. Sorry. Dang it. And I had Darrisaw going 20. He went 23
to the Vikings who traded down. Farley feels a lot like Jeffrey Simmons in the sense that.
Yes. That's a good call.
They're rolling the dice on a top five talent who had major injuries, except like Simmons had just torn his ACL.
His ACL, right.
In the draft process, Farley has multiple back surgeries
and I think Danny and Brady both talked about this in an HQ. Like back injuries are a different animal. Like,
yeah, that's not an ACL.
Right. ACLs, you know, the progression to getting back to full health. Backs are problematic potentially forever.
I heard this quote in the last 2 weeks and it's a great quote. It's like, do you know anybody who ever said, I used to have a bad back?
Right. Exactly. Like, no,
if you have a bad back, you have a bad back. No one has a good back. The Colts, by the way, took, Quiddy Pay at 21. The Browns coming to get Greg Newsome. Oh, we already touched on Travis Etienne. So annoying. Which of these late round picks, Wilson, do you like the most from 20 to 32?
All right, 20. Let's see. Kadarius Toney. I like the fact that they got that. They're going to get the number one overall pick next year, but we'll see how that. I love Quiddy Pay at 21. We just talked about Caleb Farley and the potential concerns there. Greg Newsome is an interesting pick because
real quick on the Titans. I'm just gonna be real quick.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you, Wilson, but it's weird to see them take a risk that big. Cause like you guys just said, it's a back injury. If it's bad enough, he doesn't play.
And he had tore his ACL in 2017.
If these injuries are bad enough and he's not on the field in 2021, all of a sudden you whiffed on two straight first round picks. Isaiah Wilson played like three snaps for them.
And they have the Corey Davis fifth year option.
So, I mean, that's, you're getting into, a disastrous area.
You're getting into monocle scrutiny, like we're scrutinizing your territory.
And by the way, three edge rushers went off the board
in the last three picks that could have gone to Tennessee, a team that had 19 total sacks last year. And by the way, Gregory Rousseau had 15 and a half sacks in 2019 before he opted out. So you're taking a double risk on an injury guy and also Bud Dupree coming off an ACL, and he should be okay, but he still needs help. So I like the Greg Newsom pick because Denzel Ward has been okay. He's been up and down. I think injury's been an issue there. We know that Greedy Williams had injury issues. And the other pick that I like a lot, and we'll see if it helps, quote-unquote, is Rashad Bateman going to the Ravens. Like, I think that could be interesting because he's a really good player, had a much better 2019 than 2020. And if he bounces back.
If you like read Pete Prisco's grades in a row. So this is grade for Rashad Bateman. I know they need help at receiver, but they are better options down the line. This is great for Peyton Turner, the next pick. I know they need edge help, but there are better options.
Oh no.
It's literally the same grade. Like, what are you doing?
Well, the funny thing is
he went to bed and like had a script just typing in.
He's just asleep at the wheel.
Well, Hassel was calling him out live on set for typing. He's like, I'm doing my grades. So he was just typing out the same stuff.
I'm here to defend Pete Prisco. No breaks on the FFT special. He very much needed to go to the bathroom. You know his age. We don't have to say it.
You're wearing a kidney stone. He's got a 65-year-old man with a kidney stone.
That man was grinding on air
in that situation
with great. No,
I'm messing with Pete. I've done these draft shows with Pete, and Wilson has too. And Debo obviously has too. Pete grinds hard. It's fun to F with him, but he works hard, and he's just like, I'm just trying to throw a grade at somebody, get them out of my face, and they'll leave.
Right. Me. He's actually writing in. Yeah.
That's why he's not dropping F bombs. So I've got somewhere in my office up there. I have a signed F card. We used to hold up the grades. The Bills took EJ Manuel. Pete gave the Bills an F. I was like, Prisco, I'll just hold this. Sign this.
Here's a little, before the draft, we told Prisco, like, be a little careful. Shout out to our guy, Gary Parrish on the Ion College Basketball podcast, does college basketball coverage for us. This past NBA draft, he gave a player that the Knicks selected, Emmanuel Quickley, a D+. That made its way to Quickley, and he printed it out, put it in his locker, the grade. So I don't think Pete didn't dip below a C. So I think he was a little nervous about, you know, he says it doesn't bother him, but anybody using this as bulletin board material, I think would bother Pete.
Yeah, and don't forget, Debo, that Minka Fitzpatrick was on the show with him. Or maybe it was just with BMAC and Cam Hayward.
Yeah,
Pete didn't put him in his top one.
He didn't want that smoke.
He didn't want that. He didn't want that drip. Does drip work there?
you guys, you and BMAC looking great on set tonight. Tell us about Peyton Turner. How much of a surprise was that one?
So there was some late buzz in the mock draft community in the last week or so that he might sneak into the first round. I think I mentioned Daniel Jeremiah. I think he threw him in there in his last mock draft. If he didn't, he had in the one before. And I said this on HQ. Played in Houston, 1 year productivity, and was really good. And the one sort of big game he had was against Brady Christensen, the left tackle for BYU, on a really good offensive line for BYU. And he had his moments, but he wasn't lights out. But, you know, otherwise there was a lot to like. So it's just a matter of sort of trying to project these guys. And, you know, I think he went ahead of Gregory Rousseau. And here are the differences. Peyton Turner is bigger, stronger, quicker first step. And that translates more easily, even though he didn't have the production numbers in terms of sacks. And things that we sort of typically measure these guys by. So I'm fine with the pick. And it doesn't feel like an LJ Collier pick, which sort of had people scratching their heads because LJ Collier wasn't a pass rusher. He was sort of a tweener defensive end, quote unquote, edge guy who feels like a Seahawks first round pick and that he hasn't quite met expectations. I think Peyton Turner has a chance to be a pretty good edge rusher. Maybe it doesn't happen right away. I think the good news is that the Saints took him, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't trade up for him like they did with Marcus Davenport, who hasn't been a home run. And also, by the way, you have Cam Jordan on the other side, so you can sort of ease into that job. And I think I said this, that sort of like Alden Smith did. I think I said it with Gregory Rousseau too, which fits. in Buffalo. You don't have to be the guy. You can sort of ease into the job in a rotational sense and have some success that way.
Have you heard about these pools that you have to guess every player that's selected in the first round, but you have to do it in the least of, so you can like write 60 players, but you have to get all 32 picks. Right. So the cover three guys did it. They did a great job with it. They got over 100 entries. So you have to get all 32 picks, but the goal is to make, so like select the least amount of players as possible.
You have unlimited drop downs.
Right.
And your first drop down is going to be Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
And your second drop down is Zach Lawrence. And your third is, you just go through the quarterbacks you know will be drafted.
So, you know, you want to make it in as least amount of picks possible. But if one of your guys that's not on your list, it gets drafted in the first round, you're out. So Peyton Turner was the guy that crushed almost everybody's. Only 7 people in this cover 3 pool had Peyton Turner. So right away, I mean, you get to the 29th pick, but crushed it. But he was the guy.
Somebody, it was either Rap Sheet or Schefter tweeted about Peyton Turner right before the draft.
Schefter did.
It was like, he might sneak into the first round.
Well, I'll say this. DJ has been talking about him for at least 2 weeks. So,
okay.
Day before, great, but DJ's been onto him. So credit to him for.
I mean, look, DJ's the best at what he does.
I thought it was crazy though to see him being taken by the Saints because the Saints had a wild roller coaster ride of a day. I mean, a couple hours before the draft, there's speculation they might trade into the top 10. So you have Saints fans on the edge of their seat. You know, every pick that goes by in the top 10, they're like, oh my God, is this going to be where we trade? Is this going to be where we trade? All of a sudden, no trade. Then they stick at 28. Then they take a guy who no one had projected in the first round. It's like 48 hours ago. So it was a pretty crazy situation with New Orleans.
Yes. And as Breach points out, the entire lead up to the draft, which we referenced before, was insane. Not only did we get the Saints, it's like the Saints are trying to trade up. And Jay Glazer said, he quote tweeted somebody saying, it's not for a quarterback. And then Jane Slater said, it's not for a cornerback. It's for something more substantial.
They were right.
Apparently it was for, if you listen to the buzz around the league, it was for Jalen Waddle. They couldn't get high enough to get Waddle.
That would be crazy.
They wanted Waddle.
There's no way that was happening.
Well, no, they wanted Waddle and they were trying to trade with the Lions at 7. But the problem was the Falcons were going Pitts at 4. And then at 5, the Bengals are going Chase. And then at 6, the Dolphins are going Waddle. So you need to get to 5 to do it. The Dolphins wouldn't do it. The Bengals wouldn't do it. That's who they were going for. They were going for Waddle.
That's extreme.
It's insane. Yeah. I mean, Sean Payton traded 2 first for Marcus Davenport. So that happened. And you're like, oh man, what a wild lead up to the draft. And then all of a sudden somebody tweets out, Tim Tebow's coming out of retirement as a minor league baseball player to be a 33-year-old tight end for the Jaguars and Urban Meyer. You're like, well, that's.
And at that point, you're thinking, there's no way this day can get any crazier.
You're like, well, yeah, exactly. You're like, this day.
I thought that Shanahan was right that we're all going to die on Sunday when that news came out.
And then after that Looney Tune, like, independent reporter was like, I'm telling you, the San Francisco 49ers trying to trade for the Packers. It's like, what is this guy talking about? You get multiple national confirmed reports that Aaron Rodgers is out. He's done with the Packers. Breach, on a scale of 1 to 10, where does this rank on Looney Tunes storylines in your NFL writing career?
Oh, this is like 700. This is so far off the scale that.
Hey, Breach, is this crazier than Laramie Tunsil's gas mask video?
Yes.
I think so.
I think so too.
I think so too.
Yeah.
But we're like, dude, tweeted that. It's like, what are you talking about? It was like, actually, no. Did you watch the Schefter thing? What happened? Danny Rossini got dunked on. So Schefter goes, coming up, Laura, after the commercial, I have some massive breaking news. And they weren't going to commercial. So she's like, okay, we're going to throw it to Danny Rossini for a report of the Saints. And Rossini's just like, oh, no. What are you going to do? Like, Schefter's about to drop a bomb. He's dropping, and you're giving some update on the Saints wanting to trade up in the draft.
In Rossini's defense, when she came back and did
it. I feel bad for her.
No, but listen, when they came back to her after the news broke, she said, nobody wants to hear me talk about this. They're waiting for Adam Schefter. What are we doing?
Yeah, exactly. And they, but they come back from commercial and there are tweets from everyone on set at that NFL Live thing. And by the way, that's a pretty baller move to squat for a commercial break on
he
a.
He knew.
Yeah, but you got to know nobody else has it.
That's what I'm saying. He knew. Like that's how big, that to your point, that's how big a baller Schefter is. He ain't worried.
I'm just saying, like you get, like that's a good move.
So he's, well, here's the situation real quick. Just to preface the Schefter stuff is that the independent reporter got the news from Paul Allen, who was the Minnesota Vikings radio announcer, I think, or he's their play by play or color analyst. And so he has his own radio show. And he said on that radio show on Thursday morning, basically that Aaron Rodgers, the 49ers went after Aaron Rodgers because they thought he wanted out. And so that is where, from there is where everything spiraled. So there wasn't anything else. That was just it. There was just the 49ers went after him. It was a Hail Mary trying to land Aaron Rodgers. And that's what started the speculation.
Yeah. As it turns out, it's weird because so David Dunn, who is Aaron Rodgers' attorney, I mean, apparently he'd gotten this out to everybody else in the last week because there were teams calling the Packers about trading for him. There's only so many teams who could trade for him, and he's a $38 million cap hit if he's traded before June 1st. It's not happening, right?
Excuse me, I'm yawning. I said this.
Let me ask this, Wilson. Would you trade right now? Would you trade Trey Lance? See, that's the thing. It doesn't work for the 49ers.
It doesn't work.
The 49ers can't do it.
I'll put this to the people that are listening because you poo-pooed it right away. But there was a point in a perfect world, if Deshaun Watson didn't have the allegations that he had, and we'll see how those sort of work themselves out, but they're obviously very serious. But in a perfect world, if everyone had no allegations against them, we could have had a situation where Deshaun Watson was not playing with his current team. Right. Aaron Rodgers can force his way out of Green Bay. You can say what you want, the Packers, so we're not doing anything.
You retire and go do Jeopardy.
And Russ Wilson was, I think he was blowing off steam, but you know, I think teams called Seattle to see what the deal was. But the idea of Carson Wentz gone, Doug Peterson fired, Aaron Rodgers gone, Deshaun Watson gone, and Russ Wilson talking about it is absolutely crazy bonkers even to consider given that everything revolves around quarterbacks.
I think you misinterpreted my response. You said something like there had to be like a 5% chance this could happen.
Yeah, I said 5 to 10% in a perfect world.
No, I was saying you're right. It's even crazier than that. There was way this should have, like, this is a, if you told me that Carson Wentz was with the Colts, Jared Goff was with the Lions.
Oh, right. Stafford.
Stafford's with the Rams. Aaron Rodgers is with Team X. And Deshaun Watson is at his house on week one of 2021. And you said, how much will you bet on this? It's 7,000 to one of it, not a dollar. I'm not betting on that. That's the stupidest thing you've ever said. Like, what are you talking about? Like those events cannot come together at the same time to happen. And yet we're not that far off.
Here we are. And Brinson, you mentioned Team X. Mike Florio reported that the three teams that Rodgers would like to be traded to, his wish list, the 49ers, the Broncos, and the Raiders. And obviously the Packers don't want to trade him into the NFC because if you're going to ship him off, you don't want to see him again. It's like the Patriots and Tom Brady. You send him to the other conference. You see him once every 4 years, maybe a little more than that now that they're 17th game, but you don't see them often. And then Rodgers' request was to be on the West Coast in case he's hosting Jeopardy because his fiance lives on the West Coast because he wants to be in LA where there's more entertainment opportunities.
I'm sorry, I know I've asked you this. Who's his fiance again?
Shailene Woodley.
Oh, right.
Okay. Is she in Game of Thrones?
She is not in Game of Thrones. In the Divergent series.
Yeah, Pete was spitting some game on everything that Shailene's been in, and we were like, Pete, what are you? He's like, I watched them
creepy
all.
Old man.
I think he's been doing his research.
I think he read the books.
No one wants to sit in your leather chair for a draft weekend.
Yikes!
Would you sit in Roger Goodell's leather chair?
No.
This man cave leather chair. This guy's down there just farting up a storm in this leather chair. You're going to sit in Roger Goodell's fart chair? What are we doing?
With his medium t-shirt on.
They literally shipped that from his house and brought it to Cleveland and made people sit in it.
And then a fan sit in it. It's
like, oh my God.
Been in his house for 10 years. What are you doing? Like, you just got vaxxed. Now you need more vax, unfortunately.
The only way that could have been like weirder is if it would have been like the toilet seat from Roger Goodell's house, because it was pretty weird to have everyone sit in his chair.
Oh, you could sit in my chair. It's
by
here.
The way,
my
chair. When Breach thinks something's weird, it is way weird.
When I suggest it's weird, and then Breach is like, no, it's real weird.
It's weird.
And then you know it's weird.
One more thing on the Rodgers, though. The Packers general manager was asked tonight, real late at night.
Breach, like, could you pronounce the Packers general manager's name?
Goody Kunst.
What?
Goody Kunst.
What just happened? Look at Debo.
What is it? That's close. Yeah,
it's not even close.
I said. How is it?
I'm sorry, what was it?
Goody Kunst.
All right. Anyway, so what did he say?
No, I'm never going to know his name properly. It's like
Brian Goody Kunst.
Yeah, that's what I said.
It's something like that. Go ahead. What did he say?
He said, we're not going to trade Aaron Rodgers. That was just a blanket statement.
This is a family show, Breach.
He also said, he's our quarterback. He's our leader. We've been working through this for a little while now. I think it may take some time, but he's the guy that kind of makes this thing go, and he gives us the best chance to win, and we're going towards that end.
How about you call him Goody Booty? How about that?
I'll call him Goody Booty. All right. And he did say that he actually talked to Aaron Rodgers on Thursday, but he did not offer any specifics of the conversation.
Hey, Breach, let me ask you this. What do you think the conversation was when whoever the front office executive was who fled to California to talk to Aaron Rodgers? How do you think that went?
Well, I think Aaron Rodgers slammed the door and said, oh, where's LaFleur? Where's Goody Booty? Like, I'm not talking to you, man. Don't send the low-level guys.
We're a random Green Bay resident out there. He's like, I actually am an owner. I'm just, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
this is just a crazy situation because, Brenton, you mentioned the cap hit. You got to do a post-June 1st trade, and even then, it's still.
So, as I understand it, here's what happened: is that Rodgers' contract after 2021, he's very cuttable.
You're cutting him?
Well, no. After 2021, the Packers can get rid of him at any time and move on to Jordan Love if they so desired.
Aaron Rodgers' problem, though. He wants security.
No, just hear me out. After they draft Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers is pretty cool about it, right? Goes through the whole season. Wins the MVP, takes in the NFC Championship game, and then he's like, all right, listen, I think I've set the record straight. I'm not playing ball on this. We're not playing on the same field. I want an extension. I want guaranteed money past next year. And the Packers are like, and then Trey Wingo's reported they told him they'd trade him. So basically the whole next 3 years of
Goody Buddy denied that.
Who did?
Goody Buddy.
Goody Buddy?
He denied that they told Rodgers they would trade him.
The Packers do not want to give Aaron Rodgers a bigger dead cap or cap hit in the future over the next 3 years because they are worried that if he falls off a cliff, they won't be able to move on. And Aaron Rodgers is taking the stance of, F you, I just won the MVP at 37 years old. This is an old man Joe Flacco move. You have to pay me now. And when
go ahead.
No, that's what's happening.
Here's my thing.
Structure. He wants an extension. They're telling him no, and he's telling him to F off, and they're both mad at each other.
Yeah, I think here's the thing. And Breach, actually, I'm curious what you think about this. The deepest wide receiver class in human history last year, they draft zero wide receivers. They sign zero undrafted free agents. Breach, they had an opportunity to draft a wide receiver.
If you name Will Fuller, I will come through this.
No, I'm not going to. Breach, they had a chance to draft a wide receiver, and they took a cornerback. And this is after they knew full well that Aaron Rodgers was angry about being disrespected, at least in his mind. Do you think the fact that they took a cornerback is a subtle message or a not-so-subtle message to Aaron Rodgers that it's our way, not your way?
Actually, I think it's fascinating to think about it in terms of, were they planning to take a receiver until Rodgers blew everything up? And then they were like, well, F that. He's gone. Let's just go the way we were going to go originally.
Well, I wanted them to take a quarterback.
I mean, that would have been hilarious.
Another quarterback. F you, Aaron. We're like, you're done here.
But here's the problem is that the board fell perfectly for the Packers to take a wide receiver. You had Rondale Moore. You had Elijah Moore.
Just take a quarterback. Take a wide receiver. Don't take a quarterback. Take a wide receiver. If you are Aaron Rodgers, and you're a first ballot slam dunk Hall of Fame quarterback, right? The team that drafted you, the team that you grew up playing with, that you had to fight through this whole Brett Favre crap with, is now treating you the same way they treated Brett Favre. And ultimately, they're right about Brett Favre, but you got to be a little miffed about how this all went down if you're Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, I agree.
Well, and apparently, there's a report that he thought the 49ers trade was going to get done. So that probably didn't help much. So it is just, I don't see how they fix it. That's the thing is this does not seem salvageable. And so I can't imagine him showing up at OTAs or mini camp.
Breach, is the Jeopardy thing a game of chicken to try and convince?
Here's the thing. And Brady.
Oh, you think he's going to quit playing? Come on.
Brady Quinn said this, I think, on HQ during the first round. He wasn't that good. Like, he's smart, but he's not that engaging as a talk show host.
Jeopardy.
But that's not, does Brady watch Jeopardy every day? Like,
the MVP last year. He's not walking away from football.
Hold on. I want to hear Breach's explanation for Andy Dalton of Jeopardy host. Go ahead.
No, I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers was the best Jeopardy host. I am saying he was close to what you want in that game show. You don't need.
Trebek was very, very good at his job and understated also.
It's disgusting, Breach, that you would compare Aaron Rodgers to Alex Trebek.
I didn't even mention his name. I didn't even state his name.
To Tom Brady. That's what it is. You were doing some trash ass comparison and mentioning Andy Dalton and Tom Brady's name. You're like, well, I mean, they did go to the playoffs for the same period for 5 years. It's like, no, get it out of here. You are disparaging.
Brenton, Phillip Rivers retired. I think it's time for you to retire. And Debo hosts the podcast.
On your own show.
I'll give you that.
All right, let's wrap this up. I got to do radio in like 3 hours.
Me too.
I'm going to write a newsletter at 7 a.m.
You know, great video appearance for you tonight.
Appreciate it. What's your winner, Will?
What is my winner, Debo?
What is your winner, Ryan?
My winner is McCorkle Jones, baby. He didn't go 3, didn't go top 10, but he went 15 to, as we agreed earlier, probably the second best landing spot and maybe the best. We'll see how things go with Trey Lance in San Francisco, but I think Mac Jones, no pressure this year, in a great situation. And I'm telling you, what I say, 3.5 Super Bowls in 2 years? Put it in the books.
I just wrote it down. It's in the books.
Thank you.
My winner is the San Francisco 49ers. You know what? I was on Twitter. I was following everything that was going to happen. Fans were going to revolt if that team took Mac Jones. John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan played everyone for fools. They played Ryan Wilson for a fool. They played the 49ers fan base for fools. They kept that poker face going. They bluffed us all. Everyone fell for it. And you know what? They took Trey Lance, who I think was the quarterback who was best suited for Shanahan system. So I think the 49ers win, Trey Lance wins, and I thought they made the right pick.
Nice to get a little subtle dunk on Wilson.
Not even subtle. He just was very blatant.
I will say my winner is Joe Douglas. Not only did he, unless he got played by Kyle Shanahan, which he might have, but he got Zach Wilson, and then he traded back up right as the offensive line drop-off was about to happen and grabbed Elijah Vera Tucker, who can play left tackle, left guard, right guard, play all over the place. You come back up and grab a guy who's multiple on the offensive line. You improve your offensive line. You have Mekhi Becton there already. Joe Douglas is the guy who gets the offensive line. If Zach Wilson is the guy, I'm not going to say the Jets are back. I think the Jets are good. Debo, who's your winner?
Oh my God. Wait a second. Hold on. Wait a second. Is this, they're good in the same sense you had them going to the playoffs last year good or not quite that good?
Ooh, I never said that.
Breach.
I like the Jets.
Debo, he's trying the Jets.
A winner from Debo.
I'm going to steal one that you did multiple times during the regular season, and this is legitimate. No digging at the fan base. Bears fans, they got a very good quarterback. I don't think they're going to be bad at all next year, whether it is Andy Dalton and Justin Fields split time. I don't think that draft pick is going to be top five, top, definitely not top three, top one, like you said. I think that team is
I didn't
certainly
say it would be. I said it could.
It could be. Yeah. But I think they're competing for the playoffs.
Thank you, Debo.
Good pick.
Wow. Wow.
It's a great pick.
My loser?
My winner might be Debo, who people would be like, get Debo in the stream.
My loser's the Giants because it's always the Giants.
Nice.
One more time, shout out Nate Sudfeld.
Breach your loser.
You guys are going to love this. And all that dunking from the beginning of the pod is all going to come full circles. My loser is Andy Dalton. Whoa! Suck it! What? Played you all for fools. I'm Kyle Shanahan.
As Robbie likes to say, didn't see that coming.
Did not see that coming.
Andy Dalton and Jimmy Garoppolo. Basically two quarterbacks who probably 5 weeks ago thought they were 100% going to be a starter for the team they are currently on in 2021. All of a sudden, 49ers make that trade. Jimmy saw the writing on the wall. Not so much Andy Dalton. Brinson, you said it. He was probably at some draft party with his family, watching things, probably dropped his glass of sparkling apple cider because I don't think he drinks. I mean,
Ryan Pace is kind of
champagne.
He keeps doing this. Why does he keep doing this? Stop it, Ryan Pace.
Backstabbed. Andy Dalton got backstabbed. So Dalton and Garoppolo, you guys, you're being benched. You're being, you're out. Sorry.
Wilson.
By the way, Brent Poyer in the chat says real loser, Pete Prisco grades.
Yeah, well, Pete Prisco's grades can't be losers. Cause they're, it's like, oh, is this vanilla milkshake a loser? No, it's just a bland vanilla milkshake.
I'm going to take the easy way out and say the Raiders are my losers because
freebie.
That was a freebie. We've talked about why, but they could have made what feels like in the moment better decisions.
I have so many losers. You know what? I'm going to go with the obvious one. The Cowboys. What are you doing?
I don't hate it.
Micah Parsons?
He's Debo just explained to you. He is awesome if he's got his head on right.
The linebackers are done here. Like, unless you got Devin White, what are you doing?
Brinson's just thinking of all the social media engagement he's going to get tomorrow when the Pick 6 account tweets out our losers.
I did tell Debo to make a photograph of the Cowboys.
Cowboys fans are coming at you tomorrow. Get ready, Brinson.
I was surprised because here's what I think with the Cowboys. And I said this leading up to the draft. If you look at their first round picks, they suck at everything except offensive line and they smash offensive line. Tyron Smith, Travis Frederick, Zach Martin. And you're telling me that Rashawn Slater and Elijah Vera Tucker are sitting right there and they can't help you more down the line as you're trying to build this offense with Zeke Elliott and Dak Prescott and then, you know, taking it deep with Amari Cooper, either Amari Cooper or Michael Gallup are out, but add in CeeDee Lamb. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Like your defense sucks. No doubt, but maybe lean into what you're good at. I didn't like it.
Real quick, who wins the NFC East? That's our like ongoing thing. One word answer.
I feel better than ever about my Washington bet.
Yeah, I like Washington. Let's see. I'm trying to think. The Giants trade down and they got Kadarius Toney.
Let's not forget Dave Gettleman by getting a first round pick next year is like walking into Mara and Tish's office.
Tish, yeah.
You know, yeah, they said I couldn't get a great wide receiver. He's blowing smoke up their ass and saying he got a pick next year. He's like, trust me, Daniel Jones will get it going. He'll be back the next year. I think Washington's a clear cut favorite after this draft.
Yep, I agree with that.
I think the Giants would be the only other. They'd be my 1A.
Yeah.
Right now,
Debo. One more question. We'll get out of here. Were you? I was. I thought the Eagles were trading up for Justin Fields.
Is that a question?
Yeah, no, it's not a question, I guess. But I when they traded up, it was like, man, Howie's going for it. He's firing another shot of this quarterback, this quarterback factory that he thinks he's running.
But I guess the question there is like, why would you have to trade up unless you thought another team, not the Giants, but behind the Eagles at that point, were also targeting, like if the Bears were trying to get to 10 or
no, it was spot. That was my initial reaction. It's the same as the Saints trading up for Marcus Davenport. Where it's like, oh my God, the Saints are like Sean Jackson, like Sean Payton's trading up for Lamar Jackson. But what it was a targeted, an obvious flop over the Giants for Devontae Smith. Oh.
Howie Roseman lives another day in Philadelphia.
Yeah. He appeased the fans. Congratulations. Good job, Howie. Great show, boys. See you tomorrow. As always, fun. Wilson, get some sleep.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.